You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't be prepared to leave the theater and feel good.
Oh my gosh, no.
It is such a complex topic, and like, I did not. Like, when I left, I felt like almost depressed in a way.
Like, icky. Hey, Science Pals, welcome to the podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we host the Random Theory Podcast. And today's podcast definitely got a little random.
It did. We're recording this intro after the fact. We just finished this episode. And
this podcast took a wild turn.
What started out as a catch-up, hey, I saw a movie over the weekend, turned into the entire topic of the episode.
We definitely had a nerd moment, and it was fantastic.
It was a very raw, natural, just nerding out conversation, and we decided that we, you know, that felt very true to us, and we wanted to roll with it.
And there's no spoilers. There's no spoilers.
Yes, I will say, if you have not seen the movie yet, I don't think I spoiled anything about it that wasn't already known.
No, you did a good job, because I haven't seen it yet, so I wasn't like, oh my gosh, that happened, which, like, it's all about Oppenheimer's life. So if you know about Oppenheimer, you should, like, be expecting some stuff to happen, but and we hope you have fun with us. Like, I hope you enjoy the conversation of Josh and I just being Josh and I,
just kind of nerding out. Just really going for it. And that's what, like I said, that's what's, I think, so cool about this one. It was very just like a natural conversation that we decided to roll with.
So we hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
Hope you do, and we'll see you next week for a normal episode.
But don't leave, because this one is absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. Don't you dare. How you been? We just recorded a podcast where we talked about Danny Pudi and Community for like 30 minutes at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
So
hopefully Leonard, our editor, chopped it down a little bit. But if he didn't, enjoy, because you got to see Josh and I just like really geek out about something that we are passionate about and love. Yeah, we caught up with me last time. It's raining outside. By the time this podcast drops, I will have come back from Richmond from a race weekend, which will have been a ton of fun, I'm sure. I'm super excited. I have more interviews this weekend with some cup drivers that are really big cup drivers. And it's about to pour rain outside here in New York. The sky is like super gray and dark. So if you hear thunder, just know it's not around you. It's in the video.
I'm so jealous. I want it so badly. It rained a little bit last night. I was telling Grace before we started recording, it rained for like a solid 15 minutes. It just poured out of nowhere, which is kind of how it does in Utah, like a Utah summer rain. It'll just like sweep up out of nowhere late in the day, and it'll rain really hard for a few minutes, and then it'll stop and be hot again.
Yeah, you know, I think what's really interesting about Utah's weather, in Utah, like, Josh isn't joking. It comes out of nowhere. Like, you might see, like, occasionally you'll see, like, a storm system build, but, like, it is truly out of nowhere, just sky just opens up. You might not even be under the rain shower and you're getting rained on still because like the upper winds are like blowing it. And then, yeah, it rains hard for like 15 minutes and then you literally, it's so hot in Utah, it just all evaporates instantly. So
it just the rain stops.
You go back outside and it's like dry.
Yeah, it dries up. It's like it never happened. You're good to go. Like, no big deal.
Sometimes the snow is like that too there, which is weird.
That's true. It does snow in the springtime. It does snow like that as well, where it'll just, you know, it'll be like sunny and snowing at the same time and then melt immediately. But I was going to say, I saw the movie Oppenheimer opening night. I went and saw it.
So I saw a Broadway show on opening night. You saw Oppenheimer on opening night.
Yeah. Well, hey, there
you go.
We're
thriving. We're thriving.
We're thriving. I had to buy those tickets. Me and my friends bought those tickets the second they went on sale.
Oh, yeah. Had to.
Yeah, had to. And let me tell you, I'll keep it short. I'll keep it simple. First off, I really liked the movie. I thought it was fantastic. I don't think it is the greatest movie ever made or even the best Christopher Nolan movie. I also don't think it's a movie for everyone. I mean, certainly not any younger listeners out there. It is rated R, so I don't think you should go see it.
Yeah.
It's not a movie for everyone, even. Like, you know, some of my friends, they went in thinking it was going to be more of this, like, I don't even know, like, secret,
Mission,
you know, government.
Impossible.
Yeah, like, just, you know, like, more like that, where it's, like, high stakes, secret, and it's not. Like, it's a biopic. Like, it is through and through, it is a biopic about Robert Oppenheimer.
You know what's so interesting is I feel like people were led astray by the trailer for it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is really sad, honestly.
There was I read this like one star review for it that was like, somebody in the review, they were super annoyed with it and that it was such a boring movie and whatever. And they said, and this is like direct quote from the review, they said the title of it should have been Documentary of Oppenheimer. And I was like,
well, isn't that exactly how it was like pitched?
Well, and also the movie's called Oppenheimer. You just, you're missing documentary there, I guess.
It's not called Atomic Bomb.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not even called like Manhattan Project, because I saw some people that were like, oh, it would have been nice if they would have went more in depth of that and the other players in the Manhattan Project.
No, it's like, literally called Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's a movie about a guy who had happened to do this thing that changed the world forever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the whole point of the movie is being missed.
Yeah,
I think so. Incorrectly like represented. Which sucks.
I think people are going in with a different thought and then not. And then obviously that is unfortunately tainting the viewing experience.
You said you enjoyed it, though.
I really enjoyed it. First and foremost, fascinated by the topic, you know, the like fusion and physics and everything like the fascinating. And I'm also a big history buff. So like I just was in from the beginning and then. You know, I really liked the way they told a story. Like, there was some complaints about it being confusing and just a lot of talking and whatever. But I was just, like, along for the ride and just opened my brain and just let it all in, you know? Like, I really liked it.
Kids that are interested, you're probably interested as well, Josh. Not just kids. Michael and I'm so annoyed. So we were watching TV one night. We have YouTube TV. We were just flipping through channels and it was on MSNBC, but it was like a documentary about Oppenheimer.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I cannot find it. But if you're looking for something that basically talks about like in depth, like I really want to watch, because we only watched like 30 minutes of it because it was on like really late at night.
Yeah.
But I want to find it and like watch it before I go see Oppenheimer, because it like dives deep into like who he was, what he did, how he got there.
I think it would help. Like if someone going in with like literally no idea of who Oppenheimer was or anything about his life, the movie does move very quickly through a lot of things. And so it could be hard to follow. But if you have like at least a little bit of knowledge of like, oh, he did this and this person and this person, like that might help.
You know, it's super interesting because this the show, the little bit of the show that we watched, because it was on at like 11 o'clock at night, it not only talked about him as a person, but his science and like how he struggled as an individual, and also about the involvement of the Communist Party throughout like this whole thing in Oppenheimer and his life and everything.
I will say, I mean, okay, like that right there, because I will tell you this, and it's not a spoiler. That's a huge part of the movie.
Huge part.
And a lot of people were complaining, like, "What the? Why is there all this commie stuff in it?" And it was that was his life.
I just think it was so fascinating because they said he's surrounded, like all of his friends were a part of the Communist Party. And so I think it's really fascinating because, you know, we were up against the clock with like, and this frustrates me. I'm going to go on a tangent really quick because the same thing happened with the Broadway show that I saw on opening night. The reviews that they got were not super fantastic and they were kind of like really upset about it. Yeah, people were saying like, you know, this is like cheap comedy. I thought it was hilarious. Like I thought it was really, really funny and really good and just a great show. I don't think you should be able to review something unless you have done the proper research behind it. Like you can't go into Oppenheimer just watching it. Like you have to, like that's like giving no historical context. Like you have to remember this is a movie. It is a docudrama, if you will. It is not like factual to his historical life events. Like a lot of it is dramatized. If you're going to watch something before you judge it, make sure you have all the information. End of story, science spells. Like before you can make an educated assumption and an educated guess and an educated like thought on something, you have to be properly armed with knowledge to speak to it. Like anyone going in there that's like, oh, this movie was misleading and mislabeled. It's like, no, like you said, it's called Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I think the marketing for it might have been a little confusing. People might have just not known what it was going to be. I didn't have any of those like preconceived notions about it. I was like, no, this is going to be a documentary, basically a dramatized documentary about Oppenheimer. Like, here we go.
But I think also like you're in the film world and like the videography world where you and I can kind of like push away the noise and be like, this is what this is about.
Let me actually like think about this for a second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rather than just like a casual viewer that's like watching it. Sure. So I can understand like a casual viewer being like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like when you go see any kind of docuseries or anything, like you should do a little bit of research about what you're watching before you watch it.
Oh.
In my humble opinion.
Can I just real quick drop another docuseries?
Yes, I love it.
It's a fiction, not a fiction, but like a dramatization. It's not like an actual documentary. But it is the best one I've seen. Chernobyl on HBO.
Should we once a month review a science show?
Dude, maybe. That might not be bad. Really just like dig into a science one, like a science show or movie?
I think we need to once a month.
Talk
like we
about
just
it.
We both watch it and we can tell the science pals like, hey, we're watching this movie, you guys watch it, and then we have a discussion on it
and like I talk think we about do. The actual science and stuff behind it. That could be science pals out there, let us know what do you
let
think
us
of
know.
That but yeah, anyone out there, Chernobyl on HBO, younger listeners, it's not appropriate, but it just has some adult themes in it. And that was a thing. Here's another rant. I'm going to go on a mini rant. There were people complaining about the adult content in Oppenheimer because there's language, but then the real thing is there's some nudity and like sexually explicit content. And there were people complaining about that, like, oh, what does that have to, why, you know, they didn't need to show whatever. Because there's one specific scene that I guess you could look at it and it would be a little like gratuitous. Like it's just, you know, whatever.
Sure,
it's out of place. Again, like me looking at it, I was like, well, no, it wasn't because, you know, it is widely known like Oppenheimer was a womanizer kind of guy.
Yes.
And the character, the female that he is with in the movie, like that was their relationship. It was a complicated and that was kind of their whole thing. And so
he would like sneak out to go see her.
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, unfortunate, like, affair with you know, after he was married. Like, it was a whole thing, like, mm-hmm. very complicated situation. And I'm like, you kind of need to portray it like that. Like, that's
you
how
do.
It, that's, you know, it's like warts and all kind of thing.
Well, he was like a very charm. Like, that's the whole reason they picked him for this project, was because yeah. he was a charming and charismatic individual
yeah.
that could pull people together. And yeah. like, unfortunately, yeah, he was a womanizer and like had yeah. several partners, and women were a big part of his life. So
the other thing too that this movie did so well, I thought, was not only did it tell the story of this guy and his uh-huh. life, it did a good job of like visually getting you inside his head. Like, what is, you know, what is he thinking, or how is this moment making him feel? And it showed that visually. And so even more so than for me,
that's,
it's like, well,
interesting.
Then you have to have those scenes like that, because if you are trying yeah. to portray what this guy is thinking, then you got to show stuff like that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You do have to show that, because it makes him human rather than a robot. Like, that sure. takes away the wall of like him being a robot. He sure. is now this person with emotion. That's yeah. so interesting. I can't wait to see this movie.
And it makes him, you know, it makes him a flawed human, which he was, yeah. which everyone is, but he was.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that, like, you can't tell this story about this person and not show that, oh, he had demons inside him that were
yeah.
causing problems all through the development of the atomic bomb, and especially mm-hmm. afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, if you're of age to see an R-rated movie, go see it.
I'm going to be a little spoiled brat. We have one of the 70 millimeter IMAX screens
yeah,
here
I'm
in
jealous.
The city.
It is.
We have to wait like 5 weeks to go see it. But I was like, sure. if I'm going to see it, I want to see this movie in all its glory.
Yeah,
like,
I would love
of
to.
All the movies.
I saw it in IMAX, but it was just the digital IMAX, because that's all we have here.
There's only 30 movie theaters.
Yeah. Oh, it's super limited.
It's crazy.
Super limited. That was another complaint of people talking about, like, oh, you don't need to see it in IMAX. It's a drama. It's just mostly people talking. No, it's
yeah,
totally worth it to see. Yeah, it's totally worth it to see it. Like, there's still so much visual information. And then
yeah.
the sound, like, the sound design is on another level in
like,
IMAX.
There's a reason Christopher Nolan chose to shoot it in IMAX
oh, yeah.
and not just some normal
oh,
camera.
Yeah. And there is a moment in it where the bomb goes off, and that it's great. So, like, you know, like, that's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer.
No.
So,
you know
but,
what happens.
But, yeah.
Shocking. The Manhattan Project works, and we dropped an atomic bomb.
Did anyone know the Trinity test actually worked? Did
oh,
it? I didn't
gosh.
Know if anyone.
I just think the whole thing scientifically is so insane.
Oh yeah, there's stuff that they talked about in it. This is not a spoiler, but they didn't know that it, you know, it could have just destroyed the world when
they were so
off.
Concerned about the oxygen in
yeah.
the air,
the reaction
like,
of the
yeah.
molecules in the air. They did not know if it was going to start a chain reaction that would just light all the oxygen in the air on fire and destroy the world.
That gives me chills to think about, like, being the person that has to push the button to test it.
I mean,
because
they said that it had a near 0% chance.
Yeah.
And the general, who's played by Matt Damon's like, near zero. I would like that to be zero. And Oppenheimer's like, well, theory can only get you so far. We have to test it, basically, you know? So, it's insane that any of it even happened. And don't be prepared to leave the theater and feel good.
Oh, my gosh, no.
It is such a complex topic, and like, I did mm-hmm. not, like, when I left, I felt like almost depressed in a way.
Like, icky.
Yeah, like icky. There's so many scenes in it where they're celebrating because this thing happened, and then it's like, ooh, wait, but is that actually, and it's like framed like it in the movie where it's like,
yeah.
I don't know if we should be happy about this.
I can't think of a better person though to like direct this movie than
yeah.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And to convey that emotion of like, oh my God, yeah. we're so happy at work. But then it's like, ooh,
maybe not.
This is not a good thing that worked.
It's a very, yeah, it's just such a complex, like, array of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the MSNBC one that I watched, the brief like thing of it, I want to find it. I'm sure it's on Peacock. If you have Peacock, try
yeah.
to find it. They talked about the pettiness of the scientists and how a lot of them didn't believe Oppenheimer deserved this opportunity. And
yeah.
there's a lot of like drama with the like scientists and in the science community, and they think it's actually like some of the scientists were the ones that started the rumors that he was like involved with the Communist Party, that he right. was the one leaking the secrets and like all this stuff, which is crazy.
Right. It gets into that in the movie.
Oh, does it? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the whole thing about this movie is like, it's actually like there's science. There's they talk about the theory. They build the bomb.
Yeah.
They do the thing. But also like the entire movie is a courtroom drama.
Ooh.
After the test, after they built the bomb, there was a trial where they were trying. He was trying to get his security clearance renewed, his like U.S. military security clearance. And there was a trial to determine if that would actually happen. And
oh.
they basically like drudged up his whole life, and that's a whole like part of the movie. That's how the whole movie is basically told, is like during this trial, like flashbacks and stuff. So yeah, I mean, that's like they talk all about like the Communist Party stuff and his affiliations and the different scientists, and like they talk about there being a potential insider that leaks information from Los Alamos, you know, where they were building yeah. the bomb. And
yeah, I have a question. Do yeah. you think it was him?
No. And I think they do get into that in the movie.
Because I got into a debate with like a friend in the park. We were talking about it. Neither of us have seen the movie or like done enough research on like who did it. But he was like, I think Oppenheimer did. And I was like, I don't think he would, because he hurt so much from like what he already did creating the atomic yeah. like the first one
yeah.
that I was like, I don't think he would want anyone else to have this information.
Yeah, all that drama in this life, and it really highlights just how complex of a person he was, and especially all the stuff like after, you know, after the bomb and all his like basically regrets of what
yeah.
he did. And like I will say this, I'm not going to spoil it cuz it's fantastic. But and this is every Nolan movie ever. He does this in every single movie. Every single movie he makes, he has just the perfect like button on the story, you know, like final last line.
Yeah.
Ending. And this one totally like nails it. Knocks it out of the, like when you were talking
oh
about getting chills earlier, cuz
yeah.
I said something about like destroying the like the final line spoken by Oppenheimer, absolute chills and absolute like, I feel sad.
Oh.
But yeah, really nailed the ending on this one.
Oh, makes me yeah. want to look up the last line.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. You gotta see the movie to really fully
okay,
like
okay.
get it. I will say, watching this movie, because this has been like this topic, the nuclear bombs. All the testing that was done, how they made them, the Manhattan Project, all that has always been really fascinating to me, especially because my uncle, and this is like something I've been wanting to like sit down and talk with him and like record his story, but he didn't work on like the Los Alamos project
sure, yeah.
or anything, but he worked when they were testing the nuclear bombs in Nevada. He was part of the team
oh.
that would go and set up all the cameras and recorders for the detonations and like, record the tests.
Oh my gosh, will you do a podcast with him?
His story to me sounds fat, like it sounds insane, like just the few tidbits I've heard, like it sounds
amazing.
Oh my gosh,
amazing. Would you sit down and do a podcast with him, cuz that sounds
Maybe.
So amazing.
He's in his like late 80s. I don't know if he would want to, but I would.
Well,
definitely
if you could just set the microphone in front of him where he can
just
like talk, that would
just,
be
like,
awesome.
Dude, it could be really interesting. The other thing is like, I don't even know. I mean, I've heard a lot about it. I don't know how much he can even talk about it. If it's still like weird, if there's something, you know, if like it's like weird, but
sure.
But to me, like that was when I saw that they were making this Oppenheimer movie. I was so excited because I've been hearing this about my uncle, and I'm like, that would make an interesting movie. Like this thing about this person that
yeah.
has to go to these top secret tests and set up cameras and stuff. Like, especially me being like a videographer, I was like, that sounds insane.
Literally insane.
So you said you had found, obviously we've talked about this movie. You said you'd found just some actual facts.
Yeah, just kind of like about the fission bomb in general, what they used, what was in it, like how did they come up with it? You know, this is like current day. Back then it was like a $2.2 billion project. This was like a $34 billion project in today's money.
For those of you that don't know, to make this happen, they obviously sourced out scientists to come and work on the project.
The Manhattan Project.
The Manhattan Project. But to get to incentivize them to do this, they built an entire town for them to move their families to and to live at full time. Los Alamos, New Mexico, which and it still exists. It's now an actual town. You can just go there. Back in this day, you absolutely could not go there. They built a town and moved the scientists there full time and they could not leave.
And like the children went to school there and everything.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was talking to my dad about this. Like, I can't remember what they're called, but there is a whole generation. I mean, it's small, but there is a number of people that were born in Los Alamos.
Yes.
That like didn't exist because no one could know, you know, no one, it was a top secret government project.
Insane.
And kids were born there, but those kids technically didn't exist because Los Alamos didn't exist. And so there was these people that I think like there was a period where they didn't have like birth certificates or anything. So after That's the project so crazy. Was over, they had to figure out, well, like, how does this work? Who am
How
I?
How old
person?
Are these children?
Yeah. Like, what, you know, do they have an identity or anything, like a social security number?
So in the documentary, the small bit that Michael and I watched, they talked about the kids in school. And so they would do bomb testings like 3 times a day.
Yeah.
So like one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and then one in the evening ish at like 3 p.m., I think.
Mm.
And so basically one of like the kids knew in school, like when the one bomb test went off, it was like time for lunch. And then when the other one went off at the end of the day, like they went home.
Oh my gosh.
These children's lives literally revolved around
bomb making and testing.
Bomb making, testing, and like hearing this.
Yeah.
Like day in, day out.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, I just like the fact that like that's what blows my mind. And there's a line in it, like they mention it in the movie when they approach Oppenheimer to do it. And he's like, they say, like, can you get, you know, we want you to get some scientists together. And he's like, OK, then you got to build me a town. And to me, the fact that they went into the middle of the desert where there was nothing and built an entire town to then develop and build an atomic bomb.
Insane. So I was reading and it said the explosion came obviously as an intense light flash and a sudden wave of heat and a tremendous roar from the shockwave that passed and echoed through the valley. And then the mushroom cloud expanded 40,000 feet into the air.
Wow.
And the bomb generated an explosive power equivalent of 15,000 to 20,000 of tons of TNT.
Crazy.
This is what's crazy to me. So when you are on sand, what happens when sand heats up? It turns to glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
The surrounding desert surface fused to glass for a radius of 800 yards.
Holy crap.
They did this on sand. Of course, like it was such an intense like
and it wasn't
pop
even,
of heat.
It wasn't even on the ground either. Like they built a tower that had the bomb in it.
100 feet
up and then still the ground for 800 yards melted into glass.
That's wild to me.
Also, you mentioned the bright flash of light and the sound shockwave.
Uh-huh.
Other than the ending scene of the movie, that is the best part of the movie. Like you're not ready for that moment when they light off.
Even though you know it's coming.
You know it's coming. There's all the build up, them getting ready, everything, which is all great. The way he presented it, it's true to life. You are not ready for when that shockwave hits. I mean, it is. It
I can't
hits.
Wait.
I mean, that's why you see it in an IMAX, because it's insane. Yeah.
I just like can't imagine the stress
Yeah.
Oh, of running this project. Like, obviously, like, they show that in the movie. But like, I know how I dealt with like a year of stress, like basically 2 years of stress on my shoulders for like running T-Core.
Yeah.
And like how I didn't sleep and how I didn't like do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
This man was building an atomic bomb that they didn't like, they didn't know what it was going to do. The like, I can't imagine how you would function as a human. You, there's no way you would be able to sleep. There's no way you'd be able to eat. There's no way that you'd be able to like do anything with this kind of stress sitting on your shoulders every day, day in and day out. You don't know what's going to happen. Is it going to blow up? Is it not going to blow up? It's insane to think about the like psychological effect that this probably had on him.
And not only that, but you also have the government that's like breathing down your neck saying,
oh, yeah,
this, we need this. Like, it's got to be done. I mean, obviously, they're breathing down his neck because there's still a war going on.
Yeah, people are dying every single day.
Yeah, I mean, all this took place during World War II. It's honestly, like, heartbreaking to think about, you know, you're talking about, like, the psychological effect that this must have had on him running this thing.
Yeah.
But then they did it, and you would think, like, in any other situation, you know, if you're working, like, a normal job, and you spend two hard years on a project, then at the end and you succeed, you've done the thing you're supposed to do, and it worked, that would be like a celebratory, amazing moment.
Right.
In his case, he built a doomsday, you know, massive weapon, a weapon of mass destruction that then, you know, he regretted building.
It's crazy.
And rightfully so. I mean, like, something like it, there's, you know, there's constant references to like the thing about like letting the genie out of the bottle, or, you know, whatever, you can't get the lid back on because they did it and now the world's forever changed.
Like, we still live in the atomic age.
Oh yeah. Literally all this stuff with, you know, Russia and that, like, that is still a thing that is because the Manhattan Project happened. You know, we're still feeling that. And, and, you know, I'm not like naive and saying like, well, if he'd never done this, we would be safe. There would never be. No, like,
someone would have beat him.
Someone else would have done it. And then who knows what would have happened?
I mean, the Nazis were working on one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They talk
Nazis
about that.
The Nazis were working on one. Yeah. Britain was working on one, I'm pretty sure. Like, people were actively doing this.
Yeah, the Soviets. I mean, it talks about it all in the movie. Like,
it's crazy.
It's still, I mean, that it is still something that we are living with the consequences and outcome today and will always be. Like, it's never gonna go away, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. It's crazy that, like, some, you know, I say little thing, some little thing. Obviously, it's a monumental scientific breakthrough and discovery, but this little thing just changed the world immediately.
It did. And I think what's really crazy is that I did not realize that they were two different atomic bombs.
In what way?
So there was like little boy and then there was fat man.
Oh, yeah. They dropped two atomic bombs. I think it was a week in between each other or something.
Yeah. So Hiroshima was the first one, and it had little man. That was on August 6th. Yeah. And then in Nagasaki, they dropped that one on August 9th, and they called that one Fat Man. But they were two different bomb types.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think they really talked about that.
One was a gun assembly, which was Little Boy, and it had a TNT equivalent of 15,000 tons. And then the one in Nagasaki, which was Fat Man, was a implosion bomb type.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is the one that they show that has like the triangle.
Right.
That's what that one is, an implosion one.
Okay.
And that one has a TNT equivalent of 21,000 tons. And this is all estimated. So
Okay. There is a big scene where they talk about like the detonation process and what's the best detonation process. And they talk all about that, like the different ways to detonate it. So that's really interesting.
Gun assembly fission bomb, a massive uranium 235 is fired down a quote unquote gun barrel towards another mass of U 235 to start the reaction.
Yeah.
So it's like hell in one end and then like fires into another.
Right. And that causes a reaction.
Yes. And this was one that was a little bit weaker. This was the 15,000 TNT.
Okay.
And then with the implosion fission bomb, it's a sphere of plutonium-239 that's surrounded by high explosives that compress the plutonium. Can we talk about that? So Bill Nye was in this MSNBC thing talking about this. And like, I didn't think about it until he talked about it. They had to do the physics and find the materials that were all going to squeeze this thing at the exact same pressure point and contact. So it didn't bulge one way or another. And it all had to react at the exact same time.
Yep.
Do you know how insane that is for that to happen?
Yeah. You know, it does a good job in the movie of like the passage of time and like building this up, because it was all like fairly hypothetical. I mean, they obviously, you know, you were
very
talking about
hypothetical.
The daily tests, because they were testing the explosive methods and like the firing, you know, like different trigger mechanisms and things like
that. Yeah. Well, you had to.
You had to. But but it wasn't, they weren't lighting off a nuclear or an atomic bomb every day. Like, it was all hypothetical, obviously, until it wasn't.
It was all the firing systems, essentially.
Yeah. But they didn't know for sure that it would all work together.
It's just so insane to me that they had to literally create something that would squeeze, what is it, the plutonium that was in the center?
Plutonium, yeah.
And just like hope and pray that everything compressed at the exact same time with like the plutonium and uranium.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is the crazy part about this. Like, firing one thing into another, sure, you're going to hit it. It's going to come close. It's like you just put them in two different tubes. But like, you're talking about compression. Like, we are talking about like you over an exercise ball, like trying to squeeze it all at the same time
with
the exact same pressure. Yeah. Into nothing. Like, what?
Because it can't, because that's the thing is like, if every side of it is not equally compressed at the exact same time, well, then it'll push out one direction and not get compressed to the point of detonation to start the reaction.
Yeah.
It would just like leak out one direction and not work. And like, here's the thing, and this is what makes it such like a complex conversation and topic, is like, normally when we're talking about things like this, in regards to scientific breakthroughs, like you talking about all of that and like the different, you know, they had to know, they had to do this thing and it's so complex. Like, I feel like we talk about that a lot with like space stuff. And, you know, I love space and I'm like, I get on board and I'm like, oh, it's so, you know, amazing and so like just whatever, inspiring.
Yeah.
And for me, like, this is so such a complex conversation, because it's like they did all of that. And the end result was a bomb.
Yeah.
The two of them killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And now it's something that has changed the world forever. And like, you don't know how to feel about it. You know, when we're talking about like the developments and this amazing, you know, they had to figure out how to do, like, I just don't know how to feel about it. And that was the whole thing about the movie. I mean, the entire time I was like, I don't know how am I supposed to feel about him as a person? And like, because that was one of my friends, that was one of their complaints, is they were like, I didn't know who to root for in the movie. Like, I didn't know who, you know, who's the protagonist, who's the good guy.
And I think it's kind of like you're both.
Yeah. And I think, and to me, I was like, well, that's not, I don't think that they were saying it kind of like it was like a flaw in the movie. And I was like, well, no, like that's just that's how it was. Like, that's just the real life situation of, here's this guy who was so passionate about exploring quantum physics and got to do it in this project that was like the biggest project of someone in that field.
So unreal.
But unfortunately, like, it had this outcome that maybe might not be the best thing. And so, like, to me, that's just a very, like, realistic view on it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just hard to know, like, how to feel about any of it.
This reminds me of that conversation that we had where, like, where does the line go for, like, when science becomes being used for bad versus good?
Right. Right.
Like, where's the line? And I think that's like such a good conversation and like point of view, because it's like, was this used for good? Kind of. But was it used for bad? Yeah.
Yeah.
But someone had to do it because people were researching it and curious and looking it up.
People were going
to
do it.
And so someone had to be the person to do it.
Yeah. And like, I don't think we should get into, I mean, there's the whole thing of, you know, like, these were the bombs that ended the war, and that's a complex topic of like, maybe the war was already over or something, but then we were going to lose however many hundreds of thousands of soldiers that could have invaded. You know, like, I don't know. There's so many different layers to the situation. Yeah, that
there are.
Regardless, like, however you feel about the use of them, or, you know, like, the development of them and what that means, like, I think the loss, the effect it had on the innocent lives of the Japanese citizens that were in...
Absolutely.
Like, that's horrific. I think that's, like, no matter what, that's, like, agreed upon.
That's, like, gut-wrenching.
Yeah, like, that's just awful. To wrap it up, or to go back to the beginning of this conversation, I think the movie did a good job of showing it, of explaining who the man was that did this. I think that's what it did a good job of highlighting who Oppenheimer was.
Definitely worth you guys looking it up and reading more in depth into it.
Oh, absolutely.
And who he was as a person, because science goes nowhere without people. Like, there has to be someone behind the science. So I think it's always important to learn from the scientists and what they went through and what they learned and how they learned it.
I think just that, like, it's important to look at how we got to something.
It's not always linear.
Well, and I feel like people often always just look at the result of, like, we had a bomb or we landed on the moon. And it's like, but how did we get there? Who are, you know, who are those people that got us there, and how did they do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that is the interesting conversation and like the important context to have on the conversation or on the situation. If you're, again, I will say once more, if you are of age, I highly recommend going and seeing Oppenheimer. If you can, go see it in IMAX. Because it's worth it.
All right, Science Pals. Well, leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you thought about or what you think about us doing like once a month, like a science movie kind of chit chat. I think it could be kind of fun, but let us know.
Yeah. It needs a good name. We need a catchy name.
We do. If you can come up with a catchy name, drop it in an email to random3pod@gmail.com.
Yep.
We would love to hear your catchy name for what we can call this.
Or if you liked it, let us know if you hated it or if you're on board.
Yeah. But this was fun. I had a blast doing this, just talking about science. And this is what we've always wanted to do, though. Talk about science in a really fun, like, casual cultural setting, if you will, like a science, cultural, pop culture moment. So
it's science in the world around us. I cannot open the internet without seeing something about Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Or Barbie.
Barbie, obviously. Barbenheimer.
All right, Science Pals. We'll be back with another podcast next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.